good evening, and greet you in Jesus' name. I appreciated that devotional, Do You Know Him? And do you know the person? Do you know the one that it really matters to know? And I had to think of that song, Do You Know Him? I can't think how it all goes, but I was challenged by that, and Greg, it was a challenge to me to think about the fact that we really don't belong here. In a lot of ways, we don't deserve what we get. And I was thinking of the verse in Hebrews 4. Just looking for it quickly. I don't remember which verse it is, but about we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Not just timidly or you know, but we can actually come boldly and know that we have an advocate. We have someone on our side, and that's a blessing. And yes, let's. If we don't know him, let's learn to know him, and let's continue to have a relationship with him that keeps those lines of communication open. I'd like to thank you too for your hospitality. Good to be with you for the day, and see what's happening at Elm Street, and God bless the work here, and certainly, I think there's a lot of potential here, and there's a lot of people in Lebanon that need the Lord yet, I'm sure, and so continue to take the gospel right here. Overcoming the fear of man is the message title this evening. To begin with an introduction, I'd like to read just a little story. Once upon a time, an elderly man was traveling with a boy and a donkey. And as they walked through a village, the man was leading the donkey and the boy was walking behind. The townspeople said the old man was a fool for not riding. So to please them, he climbed up on the animal's back. And when they came to the next village, the people said the old man was cruel to let the child walk while he enjoyed the ride. So to please them, he got off and set the boy in the animal's back and continued on his way. And in the third village, people accused the child of being lazy for making the old man walk, and the suggestion was made that they both ride. So the man climbed on, and they set off again. And in the fourth village, the townspeople were indignant at the cruelty to the donkey because it was made to carry two people. The frustrated man and boy were last seen carrying the donkey down the road. Rather humorous. I think it's actually a souped-up version of Aesop's fable, one of Aesop's fables. But so this man and his little boy, whatever it is, his son, are carrying the donkey and probably still not pleasing everyone, probably the donkey in particular. How many of us are trying to carry a donkey? I think it's a lesson that we can learn from this story. We'll never be able to have everyone's approval. There's just no way. It's not going to happen. And we can either allow that to produce fear in our heart because of what others think of us, or we can be okay with it and decide that I want the Lord's approval, I want his approval, and be okay with not having the approval of everyone else. And I believe it's natural for us to want the approval of others. That's natural, and it's right, I believe, to try to please others. But to what lengths do we go to make it happen? Sometimes we call it peer pressure, and the Bible calls it the fear of man. That's what the Bible calls it. And at the root of the fear of man is pride. I believe it is. Our tendency is to want to please others and make others think well of us. And so we try to please them, and it's the fear of man. It's pride in our hearts, and it's a desire for approval and validation. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having the approval of men, of others approving us, but having the approval of men must never get in the way or come before our desire to please God and have His approval. That's what's paramount. That's what's most important, that we have an intense desire to serve the Lord. And I trust that in many ways we're surrounded by people that serve the Lord and encourage us to do what's right. But it may not always be so, and it isn't always so. Our tendency is to allow that fear of upsetting someone or fear of displeasing someone to change our decisions or make a difference in our decisions. Maybe we need to think that through carefully. In a world where everyone is looking for the affirmation of others, it's important that we don't develop an unhealthy quest for man's approval and allow the fear of man to influence our decisions and the choices that we make in life. In Luke 6 and verse 26, I just have one verse I'd like to read before we go to the main passage I'd like to read. But Jesus was talking to the Jews. I'm just looking quickly here who he was actually talking to. But he says, "Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Woe, and that means there's trouble ahead. If you, when all men speak well of you, there just may be a problem. And he goes on to say that that's how their fathers did to the false prophets. And it's what made the false prophets false. They were willing to change their message because they feared what someone else was going to think or say or react to that. And they altered their message to make it more palatable and more pleasing to their audience. I think it's a challenge for every one of us. Especially maybe fathers, that we are willing to stand up and make choices and decisions that are right, regardless of what others may think. Have you ever done something or changed something about yourself with the hope that others would accept you? Maybe even compromised what you would have said was a conviction of yours at one time. Maybe you backed away from that simply because, it doesn't seem like it's too well accepted. And you backed away from it. It kind of comes into this category of the fear of man. I really believe it does. I came across this quote that I believe is true. If you live only for people's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection. And that's kind of how it is. If that's what you're living for, if that's what you're focused on is to be accepted, it's going to kill you when you're rejected. And we got to get past some of that and look at what pleases God. What does God want from my life, and what is He interested in? And that's what influences our decisions much more than what does everyone else think, and how is this going to be accepted by everyone else. And I kind of think man and that old man there carrying his donkey probably knew something of that, dying of people's rejection. I believe that's one of the things he faced. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And that's kind of the verse that kept coming back to me. The fear of man, it lays a trap, and it sets you up for a trap. but putting our trust in the Lord, trusting God with doing what we know is right, and trusting God with the consequences, because there's going to be some. You know, we make right choices, right decisions. We may face some things that aren't necessarily pleasant, but we make those choices anyway because we know that this is what pleases God and this is what he's calling us to, the stand he's calling us to take, or whatever it may be. Fear gives a person or an object power over another. And I just thought of an example. You know, you take a little mouse, and that thing, a little mouse, 2-3 inches long, not a whole lot of power. I mean, they have very little strength. But ladies, you let one of them run across the kitchen floor at the wrong time, and that little mouse causes you to do things you probably wouldn't normally do, like on a chair or a table or a counter or worse. And so that's what happens because of fear. And the fear of man does that for us. It lays a snare for us and gives men the power over us that God really doesn't want them to have. We do the bidding of those we fear, and the risk of being consumed with pleasing people is that we end up living our life for the approval of people instead of being most concerned about how does God look at this, and does God approve of this? Is this really what God wants me to do in this situation? Turn with me to 1 Samuel 15. You'll recognize this as the story of Saul. I think I'm going to take the time to read this passage. It's a little bit of reading, but it's a very interesting story and really brings out the point of our message this evening. I'd like to read 1 Samuel 15 and verses 1 to 31. This is the story of Saul when God told him to go to fight the Amalekites, destroy them, kill Agag, and we know the story, but let's read it. And Samuel said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of the land of Egypt." And so the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt, and he took Agag the king of Amalek, of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest they have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in the obeying of the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And then notice especially verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold on the skirt of his mantle and rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, therefore the elders of my people, and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Here we see a man that paid a high price for fearing the people. For fearing man, he paid a high price. And, it made a huge difference in Saul's life. And I believe this whole story kind of gives us a picture of the high price of living for men's approval and making choices because this man Saul feared the people. Number of points from this passage. When I live only for man's approval, if that's how I'm making my choices, sooner or later, and most likely sooner, I'm going to find myself living in disobedience to God and disobedience to God's word, because there's a lot of people today that aren't deciding, making their choices from God's word. And so we need to carefully, the decisions that we have to make, we need to make them in light of God's word. God was very clear in the direction he gave to Saul. He told Saul, you go smite the Amalekites, you destroy everything, you kill Agag, and he just laid out verse 3. It's very clear. And then you drop down to verse 9, and we see what Saul actually did. And it's just it was disobedience, outright disobedience. And it was because Saul told Samuel later in verse 24, because I feared the people. You know, God's ways and the things God asks of us in his word, they don't always make sense. And there's somebody that is sure to be able to make a better argument. And you know, we're constantly under the pressure to compromise. And God's word says this. And if I'm going by, if I'm polling everybody else, very likely I'm going to be living in disobedience to God. Human reason and living for men's approval will eventually cause me to be going against what God wants in my life. Also, when you live for men's approval, you are not only you're a disappointment to God and to his people, to those that are looking to you to take a stand and do what's right. I believe it's a disappointment to them. And in verse 11, it repented. This is what Samuel said the Lord told him. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned, well, this is God talking to Samuel, actually. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And I believe it grieved God. And there had been a time when Saul's heart was right, and verse 11 says he turned back, and he began to fear man more than he feared God, and it was a disappointment to God, and it grieved Samuel. One of these verses talks about that. I can't lay my eyes on it right now, but it was a grief to Samuel. I believe Samuel had high hopes for this man Saul, and he saw Saul as somebody that could influence Israel in the right direction. And when he made these choices, it was a huge disappointment to Samuel, and that's how it works for us too. There's people that are looking up to us. And if we begin to make our choices and make our decisions in light of what everyone else is thinking, those that are looking to us to make decisions, they're looking to us to influence them in the right direction, and it's a big disappointment to them. When you make your decisions based on the fear of man, glorifying God becomes less important. There's things that become more important, and one of the things is we're more interested in lifting up ourselves, and more interested in it's apparent that we're interested more in making a good impression or having others think well of us than actually living in obedience to God. And you know, I think of it. In the political world especially, you know, approval ratings are a big deal. You know, they're constantly, when there's an election going on, they're constantly polling to see what everybody's thinking. And they're putting feelers out. What's my approval like? And then they start making adjustments to, and you know, if I can get 2% more people on my side, and if that's how we're going to make decisions, why we're going to go from serving God, living for God, to pleasing men. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with the approval of others if that glory is turned to God and if it isn't according to his will. When you live your life for men's approval, you invite a life of frustration. You know, there's nothing as simple as you know, what does the Bible say, and what is scriptural in this, and if we're looking around to what everybody else is doing or whatever, and I'm not talking about asking advice and from seasoned godly men, but if we're constantly looking around to see how everybody else is answering this question, and we adjust our by what people are doing, we're inviting a life of frustration. It's as simple as taking the Word of God and living it out literally and living in obedience to God's Word. There is no way that you're going to please everyone all the time. Saul tried, and he partially followed God's command. And Saul kept back the best of the sheep and the oxen, and he said he was trying to please the people. And now, here comes Samuel. And said, this is what God said. And it grieved Samuel. And it upset Samuel. And Saul was like, who is he supposed to suit? And, you know, it would have taken all that frustration if Samuel or Saul would have simply said, I'm going with God, what God has told me to do. You'll never have everyone's approval all the time, so let's just not. We may just as well not try. Our calling is to serve God and live for God, and then it will be a blessing and it will be pleasing to those who it really matters. When you live life for men's approval, you begin to define success by others' opinions, and that's dangerous. When we start defining our success and whether it's right or wrong by what everyone else is saying, why, that's a dangerous spot to be. We want to define success and by living, whether or not we're living in the will of God and living according to God's plan for our lives and in obedience to God's word. When you live a life based on the fear of man, eventually you have a hard time recognizing truth and what really is approving to God. And that's another dangerous situation to be when we begin to compromise, and soon everything is relative and truth becomes relative. Verse 20 of 1 Samuel 15, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And Saul, I really honestly think that Saul was kind of confused himself. But he had brought it on himself when he didn't follow God's direct commands in his life. Well, that's the fear of man. And Saul found out in a very unfortunate way what the fear of man can do to a person and the path that it can set him on. Now, some New Testament verses. How do we overcome this fear? What's our response to the fear of man? 1 Thessalonians 2. And verses 4 to 6. And this is Paul speaking. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome to the apostles of Christ. Paul was saying here that the things we preached, the things we wrote, the things we brought to you, we weren't trying to please men. We were bringing the unadulterated, the pure word of God to you, and we spoke it to you, and we left the results in God's hand. He says in verse 6, nor of men sought we glory. This evening, God has made us, you and I, stewards of the gospel. And it's our responsibility to speak and live the gospel out. And live that gospel message out in a way that is pleasing to God, not to gain others' approval, but simply we live the word of God, we obey the scriptures, and our answer to the world around us is, this is God's word, this is how we do it, and this is what the will of God is today. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Very familiar verse. Again, probably all of us could quote this by memory. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Living for God's approval doesn't just happen. And he says here, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so we get into the scriptures and we study the scriptures, rightly dividing the word of truth, and we make application in practical ways, practical everyday ways, and we apply that to our lives today. And regardless of what's popular or what others may think of us. Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1 and verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Tonight, we are Christ's servants. And our goal as born-again Christians, our goal is to live for him, to serve him. And it needs to be singular and not tainted with trying to live a life for men's approval and out of fear of men. And 2 Corinthians 10. And here I'd like to read verses 12 to 18. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, but we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to your hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And then notice this verse, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And I'd like to add to that, not who everyone else commendeth is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And God's approval and commendation this evening are what really matters. That's what we're really interested in. And the challenge is, my goal should be to make decisions this week, over the next month, over the next year, through a lifetime, that my goal should be to make decisions that meet God's approval and not allow the influence and the pressure that comes from the fear of man to influence those decisions. I've heard it said already, and I've heard this statement before, that I've heard it said that we fear men so much because we fear God so little. And I think that's true. We tend to think that somehow, you know, because there's not consequences for making bad decisions, somehow God's going to overlook it. We fear men because we fear God so little. May we be faithful. And as we face pressure to compromise and conform to men's ideas, let's stand strong. Let's remember that God is looking to us to live for him and serve him faithfully. May God help us. Let's kneel for prayer.